T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
We were talking to Jalen yesterday, so we're listening to him, and there was something going on in the background of the conversation.
Just really of what the injury is.
Jalen, do we need a battery replacement for that smoke detector?
That's very consistent in this house for me. As you can tell, I didn't even hear.
The level of acceptability in your home when you did not have a significant other to answer to in the home. I lived in a pretty nice place in Kansas City. It wasn't that expensive because nothing in Kansas City was that expensive, but I had to get out and find a new place kind of quickly. Mm-hmm. The new spot wasn't great. My sink was extra storage.
Oh.
I had literally like, I just had no use for the kitchen sink. It was just like, it was just like there was like a phone charger in there, and I had like a speaker like wire.
Did you not use the sink for normal sink things?
What would you need the sink for?
Washing your hands?
I'm not coming in here unless this pigsty is cleaned up.
I could see this. I could see this, knowing Danny.
Steve is in Elgin.
I like to smoke inside my house. I'll smoke a little joint. I put all my joints in the sink because I'm scared I'm going to start a fire by throwing them in the trash. My friend comes in from out of town, and he's like, hey, are you saving these joint roaches? I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, you got like 5 joint roaches just sitting here in your sink. I'm like, to be honest, I'm like, I just clean out my sink at the end of the month. So no, I'm not saving those. You can throw them out now. They're definitely out.
That's not where you keep them.
Your bachelor pad. Have you even had a girl up here?
No. But Joey has, and I usually talk to them in the morning time.
How many times have you shoved the garbage can down, hoping to compress it a little bit more before you actually have to take the trash out?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I expect, Danny, you still do that every day today. Or Martha takes it out for you.
No. Trash is one of my chores. I will say, like...
The first house I have to show you is a handyman's dream.
Please don't tell anyone how I live.
One, two... Three.
And here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go, Jim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Yeah, let's just agree to not tell my wife about that segment from yesterday. I mean, she knows what she married, but reliving the horrors of the sink storage unit and that I refer to tasks around the house as my chores, as if they are being assigned to me in a transactional nature. I mean, she knows, but she doesn't love it.
I think the quality of life that our listeners have been willing to put up with at different points in their time was striking and made, as Shane had mentioned yesterday, made him feel good about himself. I've spent a lot of my last 20 hours cleaning the house in anticipation of my wife's return after 1 week away.
One whole week away?
Oh, God.
Wow.
It took so long. It took so long to clean the house.
So was there a carton of food left out
for
more than 24 hours?
No.
Okay, that's good.
No. Yeah, no, I'm more adult than that, but like just the sweeping that had gone on. I had to do like 2 or 3 different sweep runs over
what
the floor.
What happened on the floor while she was
How
gone?
Messy
Everything.
Of an eater are you?
Apparently very messy. I'm a messy chef. I'm a messy eater. I have a son. He's messy. I don't feel things when I walk on them, apparently. God, it was a disaster. But not as bad as our listeners from yesterday.
Yeah, well, but I mean, you know, you're not a bachelor anymore. You were a bachelor for a week, and you regressed. We all regress.
Oh, my God, did I regress?
Yeah, but you didn't go back to what you were in your 20s.
No, I regressed a lot.
There wasn't peanut butter on the wall.
I stopped walking upright. You know, I really regressed.
Posture was bad.
Yeah, the posture fell apart.
I was back on the evolutionary chart.
Exactly. I started grunting a lot more.
That makes sense.
You noticed that.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. That's good.
Thanks, man.
That was
a little imitation of the actual.
That was an imitation of the grunt that you've done.
Yeah.
Texter wants to know when the new song is. I want to know when the new song. I want to know what the new song is. I'm not on it. I haven't heard it. 1 hour from now, basically, right after Boomer Esiason, we debut our new Bear song. Busy show today with Boomer Esiason at 3, Trey Wingo at 3:45, Dave Weinstead at 4 o'clock, and Mark Grody at 5. So ton of Bears, ton of football today. But it's a Wednesday, which means we hear from the coach and we hear from the quarterback. And it's been interesting, obviously, Justin Fields is the biggest story in town by far because the quarterback is the most significant athlete, and it's Bears season, and they're winning, but they're winning not because of, they're winning in spite of the quarterback, and we've seen that story 100 different versions.
Yeah, we know this. We know this feeling. We know this vibe. And getting a win based on defense in spite of the quarterback, it wasn't a moral victory over the weekend. By the way, we will get to a Cubs thing regarding Wilson Contreras and a White Sox thing regarding the manager and Ozzie Guillen later on in the 4 o'clock hour.
Yes, we absolutely will. But the idea of analyzing everything and anything about Justin Fields is, we know how to do this, right? Like, after the Packers game, you were disappointed with how he handled himself at the post-game press conference. Then there was the fabricated internet controversy about the fans thing. Mm. But then on that Wednesday, after the Packer game, before the Texans game, he clarified his remarks, said, I want to be a human being up here. I don't want to be a robot. I want to feel like I can be a real person for you guys and give you a little bit of insight into my character. Then he plays awful after the Texans game.
Yeah, and I think that it wasn't merely awful, right? I think it's like the worst moment he's had as a pro, with a great rushing offense and a week of practice against a bad team at your place, and the mistakes were really bad, and he knew it and said it.
Yeah, and he said, you know, he handled it well post-game. He said, I played like, I want to use the A word, but trash. Like, he was accountable. He looked like a leader. He sounded like a leader. So now he speaks again today after he's presumably had time to review the film and go back over the game where he looked like ass. And we're going to play Matt Eberflus first, but Tanny says there's a big tone shift here coming up from Justin Fields. And it's interesting as we try to analyze the player and the psyche of the leader, right? Because Trent Dilfer talks about the stuff bucket. And there's that other part of it, the intangibles, the leadership, the communication.
And it matters. He admitted, and others have admitted, that it matters when the quarterback comes off like an adult and like an accountable teammate.
So that's the backdrop for these two pieces of audio we want to start the show with today. We will start with Matt Eberflus on how his quarterback responds after a bad week.
Man, Justin talked last week about just being very upset coming off that Green Bay game and changing his schedule to get up an hour earlier, things like that. What have you seen from him in terms of just his demeanor these last few days?
It's been great. It's been really good. He's soaking everything in, learning from his experiences, from the moments that he's in there, the things he did well in the game, you know, and the things he needs to improve. And, you know, he's been in there, was in here yesterday working, you know, so it's been good.
When your quarterback openly admits he played like trash, like, what do you look for in the week coming out of that to know there isn't a carryover there, or that some of those issues that he had aren't lingering heading into?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, with any players, you just, you want to really highlight the positives, you know, so, and then going forward for your next performance, you know, whenever you have a performance that you're not proud of, you know, you can sit there and dwell on the negative all the time. Well, that's going to do you no good. Let's look, focus on the positives. Let's focus on the corrections and have our eyes forward, okay, into the next week and how I can improve. And that's for any player.
Okay. Reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
How many positives were there to focus on? How's Justin Fields experiencing it and all that coming off playing like trash? What'd you hear from the coach before we hear from Fields there?
Yeah, just, you know, he wants somebody to stay positive. And that was, you know, it was a little my worry after Green Bay. I didn't care about the whole fan thing and the way that was taken and run with by Barstool and others. But just like the the way that he was talking and getting all monotone and getting very down, and that can have an effect. And you, as the quarterback CEO, have a responsibility to be better.
Yeah, and again, Trent Dilfer says it matters. He's like, as long as the stuff bucket is full, leadership, intangibles, communication, all of that stuff, then you want to keep investing time, because you do need time to learn defenses and offenses and checks and pocket awareness and all that stuff. He's like, if that stuff isn't at maximum capacity, is not worth investing in, you should cut bait sooner. So we're trying to measure all three of those things, the pocket part, the playmaking part, and the stuff part. So here is Justin Fields' weekly visit with the media, with all of that as context, because we try to provide context here, unlike some of that clickbait stuff that you're seeing. Huh. We're trying to provide the context to, how is Justin Fields projecting and presenting himself after what you are calling the worst performance of his professional career?
Justin, last week you said you adjusted your routine to try and play better, and then you said you played like trash. So are you going to adjust your routine again to try and make it
better? I'm going
to
keep the same routine.
We saw Darnell working with the jugs machine on Soldier Field right after the game. You mentioned you were going to go straight to the film room and watch film. What kind of conversations do you guys have after games like that, moments like that, just knowing that you guys spent so much time together working on this in the offseason?
Working on,
like getting your routes down and that chemistry.
What kind of conversation do we have?
Yeah.
Nothing much, really. You know, we both know what we expect from ourselves, so... just really get back to work like he did, like right after the game. He's on the jugs, and right after the game, I'm watching the film. So just get back to work.
What was that experience like for you Sunday, watching the film, going back into it and kind of reliving it and trying to figure out?
It was frustrating. You know, it was frustrating for sure, but got to learn from your mistakes.
So what you're going through right now, do you consider this just part of the overall process, or is this kind of throwing you for a loop, maybe not met expectations, and maybe something that becomes a psychological thing?
Part of the process, you know. Oh, it is.
You and Darnell had this great chemistry through training camp, through the preseason, but it hasn't really been there so far, at least that connection, the production, mm-hmm. the first 3 weeks. Is there anything different or anything going on offensively, defensively, what they're showing you that's not going to translate to the regular season?
We still have the connection. You know, we're not going to force it. I feel like, you know, y'all talking about it, you know, I was staring him down a few too many times in the game. So, you know, and you know, he probably told me that too, like, bro, don't try to force anything. Just let it all come. And, yeah, that's what we're going to do. So, you know, when you know, the time comes, that time will come. But, yeah.
So who do you count on? If you need a mental lift, your person, somebody who's going to help you with that self-confidence, is there anybody in particular?
I mean, you know, I've had bad games before. This isn't my first bad game that I've ever had. So, again, just looking at the past, you know, what can you do to get better? What can you do to improve? Just, you know, how you look at situations that, you know, maybe have you had in the past like this? And what'd you do to respond to it? So, you know, we have a guy here for mental health. So, you know, if I'm ever down that bad, I can go talk to him. But, you know, really just, you know, just learning from your mistakes, knowing that you're not going to be perfect, and just, you know, moving on and just, you know, accepting the fact that, you know, we won the game. You know, it's easier to, you know, correct mistakes after a win than a loss, of course. So, you know, just correcting each and every mistake and, you know, just trying to be better in every aspect.
Couple more. When the Giants traded out of that number 11 spot on draft night, did it cause you to make any mental note about next time we play the Giants or every time we play the Giants? Was that a motivator at all?
No. No,
man. Inspiring ending there.
He's down, man.
Yeah, he is.
He's way, way down. I mean, that's the most like monotone. There were times there where I didn't understand what he was saying a couple of times. In there.
Yeah, you know, listen, you know, we've done enough shows together. You know how I feel about like overly grading and press conferences and taking it right, actions over words and that stuff. But it does matter at that position, right? I want to ask Boomer about it at 3 if it matters. We'll ask Wani. Does it matter how your quarterback sounds when he speaks publicly?
Yeah, and does, like, after a game matter more than a midweek presser when he's in the middle of doing his thing? Like, I don't know how much players pay attention to it,
yeah,
genuinely.
But I'd be curious how a former coach and a former league MVP, who are both very media astute, you know, like, what they would say about it.
Because it's dangerous for him, right? It's, like, in terms of the public tide, if he cares about such things.
Yeah, like, it's funny. there's not really much of a scenario where I could see Bears fans like clamoring for Trevor Siemian, right? This isn't Fields behind Dalton. But could he be booed? Hell yeah, he could be booed. You know what I mean? The mob is fickle.
Yeah, I felt like fans turned on him on Sunday. I mean, they certainly
got the internet. Or
no, at the game
they did. Yeah, you can hear that in broadcast. Yeah, I don't know if it was offensive philosophy or if it was just like being upset at the play in general or the quarterback.
And you can't tell, but they booed that offense off the field a few times.
The offense, absolutely. I didn't get the sense that it was Fields driven. Like I remember, like the first time the boos like really cut through on the broadcast was the third and six, the run, and then they punt. You know, and then certainly the timeout at the end of the half.
Right, but we've talked enough people and interacted with enough people here first 3 days of this week to know that some have turned.
Oh, there are definitely people that don't believe in Fields anymore. No question. I'm just saying I don't know that Fields was being booed specifically at Soldier Field. Like, if he got announced, you know what I mean, as an individual in pregame introduction.
So I still think
he has this town largely behind him.
I mean, I do it more than you, and I know that I do it too much, so I'll try not to project psychological profiling.
Yeah, sure.
Onto the man, but he's obviously down. He's way down. So whether he doesn't want to be dealing with the media because he wants to be focused and work on his stuff, or whether he just came out of a terrible film session, you know, and was faced with it again, or whether he read something he wishes he didn't read. I mean, he referenced that at one point. He said, "Y'all been talking about it." I looked at the guy.
Yeah, staring him down.
Staring him down.
Yeah.
You know,
gotta get these TVs turned off.
I mean, a texter throws out there his psychological profile or hers that he has realized he now can't hack it in the NFL is what the texter says he thought he heard. That's a massive psychological profile. But that's the thing. Like the guy is down, and it's scary to hear him that far down. So
he's down. Like the best answer that I heard in there was, "I've had bad games before." Like there's some at least resiliency there or callousness there that is saying I've gone through struggles before. I've come out of it before. I'll do it again. Justin Fields is a confident dude. He has been his whole career. Like, hell, man, we have examples of it, and these are purely anecdotal. But I remember the suit he wore to the introduction in Chicago the day after the draft. Remember, it was like kind of like bright red, and just it was like a bold, loud "I am here" type of look. Some quarterbacks are not really taken. I remember Pat Mahomes didn't take a single endorsement deal his rookie year. Like, he puts himself out there. Like,
for sure.
If you go on his Instagram, like, he's...
He should have kept that mentality, personally.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
But I mean, like, so here you are. Now you get humbled in the NFL.
Yeah.
And what do you got? I mean, I know he's been humbled before. Hell, he had to transfer. He had to transfer out of Georgia to go somewhere else to play.
Yeah.
That must have been humbling and jarring. And then he rises up at Ohio State and plays absolutely great.
Yeah,
but this is I feel like that was kind of a special humbling on Sunday. And looking at the film some more, he needs to talk to Dilfer. Dilfer made all of us feel better. Maybe Dilfer would make him feel better.
And the thing is that I think that Luke Getsy probably does a lot of positive reinforcement. Doesn't Matt Eberflus seem like a guy who does positive reinforcement?
Yeah, but
I mean, he just said it in the clip that we played.
Yeah, he does, but Getsy's coaching, going to coach Justin hard, and we have praised that because he said some things publicly. And if you're going to be honest with your student, then this is a very difficult week. Like last week was for the defense with Eberflus saying, "You guys can't tackle," like, and coaching them up hard and coaching the tackling. Getsy's got an opportunity this week to try and reach Justin. And you know how that goes when you're coaching and teaching. Sometimes you've got to break somebody down. Like, if this is a moment where he learns, I got to throw it. When EQ St. Brown's open on that short out pattern on 3rd and 9, I got to throw it. Even though I got 29 with my feet. Maybe thought that was great, and now he's being told it's not. Great, those kind of things.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, does it sound like Cutler? Few texters are mentioning Cutler. I think that's early, personally. I mean, that individual press conference could sound disinterested, defiant, that sort of thing. But
Cutler was defiant.
I don't think that Justin Fields is broken. Like, I think that he's not good right now. But I don't think that is a guy who has yet gotten to a point where he believes that he can't solve this problem. He strikes me as a very self-confident, self-assured individual. He did not in that press conference, but if we start seeing him hanging his head, slumping his shoulders.
That was the verbal version of that.
I know.
How was the body language?
It's got to be prolonged,
at
though.
The podium, Tanny, as you're watching.
I'm no expert, and I really hate like even framing this as like comparing it or trying to like explain how I think he looked out there. You know, but you guys, everyone heard it, and like that was not edited to make it seem a certain way. It was edited for specific questions because we want to get to the meat of it. But he was kind of just like, you know, lean back a little bit, like, you know, didn't seem like you want to be there. I hate even projecting that, but just like, you know, you can go back and watch it. It's on the Bears YouTube. Anyone can go back and watch it.
I'm sure
and
he didn't
also
want to be
like,
there.
Like, you know, Danny said, a lot of this stuff doesn't always matter what happens on the field. What concerns me is like, he's got no real building blocks right now of things he could say, okay, we did this right, so let's continue moving on that going forward. Like, he's got nothing from that game on Sunday, and that's like why he's so down like that, you know?
But literally, like, sometimes the teaching process is go ahead and break it down. Because this is a rookie year, but in this system with those quarterback coaches, and now they have an opportunity. So, you know, you push them further down, let them feel like this, and then tomorrow and Friday, you show them the positives, and you try to get them to accentuate those positives and follow that.
I mean,
it's gonna be a process for the young man.
Eberflus said he already did it. Like, my guess is it just didn't take that long. You know what I mean? Like, hey, let's go over the positives in the passing game against the Texans.
Yeah, we're speculating because obviously they didn't have practice yet. So, like, sometimes you hear that after a bad practice, but they hadn't even had practice at that point. So
right.
we're speculating maybe just got out of a bad meeting, like we said earlier. So it wasn't like, oh, he had a bad day at work that day on the fields in that sense, but maybe he could have, you know, maybe Getsy and Coach Flus got after him a little bit. And they get, you get to the hard facts after the dust has settled after that game and the emotions have settled, and now you can really get into the tape, and they did not like what they see. That's just what they saw, maybe. So.
Yeah, and all the media, so many follow-ups about mentally, how tough is this, and, you know, follow-ups about, like, are you a little shook after that, and, like, who do you turn to for support? So, like, everybody was seeing it and having that conversation.
Yeah, and I see some of you on Twitch and on the text line, text right here, this is the worst type of commentary. What if he's sick? What if he has some family stuff going on? Stick to football. Fair enough. Like, I agree, actions over words, but this guy is your quarterback. We are our quarterback experts that come on the station say how you carry yourself and how you handle failure, for lack of a better word, in these moments does matter. And we're learning about this guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if this is 3 starts this year, 9 last year, 3 with this new system, 3 where he's been the guy. I mean, he said in training camp it was easier for him to be a leader and have guys follow him because he knew it was his job and his team from day one.
Right.
So it's like with the Bears being Justin Fields' team, we're 3 games into that.
And it could
from his words.
Yes, and it could very well be that this kind of, you know, feeling down and being down doesn't affect his teammates in the middle of a week. But does it affect, as you just said, does it affect the way that he learns, the way that he processes, the way that you go on as a quarterback? That's what Eberflus said, that you got to stay positive. That sounded and looked like a guy having a difficult time staying positive, understandably so.
So when I watched the Giants Cowboys game, there was a Bears player that I kept thinking about, who's prominent, who we haven't talked about a lot this year. I think in order for them to win on Sunday, we got to be talking about him a lot come Monday. I'll give you the name and see if you agree next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today.
Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Talk radio was on. Hear it?
Afternoons on the Score.
I mean, I try to keep it simple, so, yeah.
See, that's why I like talking to you, and that's why I'm going to try to get you a steak.
Yeah.
Robert.
I need two. I need one for my wife, too.
Okay, I'm going to put the pressure on my boss, Ron Gleason, right now, who's listening and is in charge of the gift card. So I'm going to see to it that you get a bundle.
Yeah, well, I'll take it. If he joins, we can put it on his credit card, right?
Oh, there you go. Put it on the company credit card. I like that. Thank you, Ron.
That's a tax write-off.
Oh, my goodness. I like the way you're talking. You're a businessman, aren't you?
I'm learning. Over the years, I learn.
That's a veteran for you.
Mark Brody with Robert Quinn. We're Parkinson Spiegel. We'll talk to Boomer Esiason in 15 minutes. Has Robert Quinn had a good year?
He had a beautiful sack in the first game, in the Niners game.
I think he was credited with a sack only in the Packers game. He had... Right?
Oh, it was the Packers game.
It was the Packers game.
He bent around.
Yeah.
He bent around the edge and got Rodgers.
Packers game. Yeah.
Okay.
My bad. And the Niners game obviously was weird. Wet field, the monsoon. They're helping on his side. You know, to the untrained eye, it didn't seem like he had a good game. But then some of the advanced stats were suggesting that he was attracting a lot of defensive attention. They haven't said his name a lot, right? And he had obviously a monster season last year, set the franchise record for sacks. If you watch that Giants-Cowboys game, the most noticeable thing, I mean, Saquon had maybe the highlight of the game. CeeDee Lamb had a great catch. But the most noticeable consistent mismatch was Cowboys pass rush against Giants pass protection.
Daniel Jones was pressured 24 times. The most for any quarterback this season, the second most over the past two seasons combined. And that was the most pressures that the Cowboys defense has generated in any game since 2017.
They hit him 12 times. Sacked him 5, but hit him 12 times.
How much of it was DeMarcus Lawrence?
He had 3 sacks. He was awesome. He looked like an all-pro. He was unbelievable. But... Daniel Jones is not good. He's not as bad as some of the memes make him out to be, because he was under duress like crazy, but it was not a productive day. He only turned it over once. But the thing is, it wasn't just Dallas. He's been sacked 13 times this year in 3 games. Against the Titans, he was sacked 5 times, still completed 81% of his passes, had 2 touchdowns against 1 pick. In the Panther game, was only sacked 3 times, completed 65% of his passes, 1 touchdown against no interceptions. But they don't have a lot of weapons. They have no pass protection and no weapons. They gave Kenny Galladay all that money, and the guy doesn't have any interest in playing football, evidently.
Sterling Shepard just blew out his knee, and he's out for the year.
Yeah, so like their offense is give the ball to Saquon and pray. But Daniel Jones is good enough to be a starter in the NFL for a really bad team or a top-flight backup, it seems, right? He's been in the league. This is his 4th year. They didn't pick up a 5th-year option. Hasn't thrown for 200 yards yet. But my question is basically, can Robert Quinn play like DeMarcus Lawrence? This is one of the worst pass-blocking teams in the entire league through 3 games.
Especially the rookie right tackle, Evan Neal, who got dominated by Lawrence and others.
Does Robert Quinn,
I think he can,
without Hicks, without Mack, with more of a rotation, right? With Gibson and Blackson and Dominique Robinson, like we've seen, like they're rotating a lot of bodies to keep guys fresh. Can you have a difference-making performance by a pass rusher and this Bears pass rush? I'm very interested in seeing what this Bears defensive line and pass rush can do against one of their easiest assignments of the year. They're on the road, so it won't be a loud stadium when the Giants are on the field, but this is a game that the Bears pass rush should get home. Robert Quinn should have multiple quarterback hits in this game.
Yeah, so what, how do you want to measure it? Pressures, hits, obviously sacks is the dream, but let's measure it by more than that. How about pressures?
Yeah, pressures is great. QB hits, you know, get the guy off his spot, get him to drop his eye level, you know, just make him uncomfortable. And it's got to be Robert Quinn. And if you do that, you're not going to have to ask Justin Fields to do all that much. Like, I think the Giants are going to be able to run on the Bears, and I think the Bears are going to be able to run on the Giants, and Daniel Jones certainly seems to be making fewer mistakes than Fields at this point. And so they have home field advantage, they have the quarterback advantage, but you should have the pass rush advantage, like significantly. And
maybe Eberflus and Alan Williams need to bring some more.
I don't know. I mean, if they're not getting,
if they're
home,
not getting there, go ahead and bring some more.
It's against their nature, though. Like the nature of the defense is we're going to rush our four, we're going to drop our seven, we're going to make you matriculate the way down the field. That whole thing. But like, you can't let Daniel Jones get comfortable because no one has let him get comfortable. But I haven't seen a ton from the Bears pass rush to suggest that they're going to be difference makers even when they've got an easy assignment. I hope I'm wrong. Mm. But to me, that, and we'll talk to Wani about that at 4 o'clock. It is like the very clear weakness of the Giants, and everyone's been able to exploit it. Can the Bears?
Robert Quinn, heavily rumored out there in L.A., as the Rams are struggling and their defense is struggling early, you know they're going to make some moves. And
I would trade him.
Of course. What do you need? What do you need from the Rams? Third round pick enough for you?
Yeah, done. Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, man, a kid, top 100 pick? This team's not winning anything of substance this year. Give Ryan Poles another third round pick. Give Ryan Poles another thing that you could wheel and deal if, God forbid, at the end of the year, you think Justin Fields is awful. And you've got the ninth pick in the draft and you want to move into the top five in order to, you know, select C.J. Stroud, like Bryce Young,
Listen, the kid from Kentucky. You're doing it yourself.
You need ammunition.
But like you're talking about quarterbacks. You're already there.
Yes.
You're ready to entertain trading away everything in a continued asset hoard so you can go ahead and put together a package for a quarterback. What happened to your guy?
I'm not saying that. Listen, the hope is that at the end of the year, that would be a laughable thought. And now, cool, you have an extra third round pick to draft a receiver.
Yeah,
you
don't have to make the decision just yet.
But if it's doomsday, right? And it is doomsday. It's like, oh my God, Fields isn't the guy. We're cutting bait. It's not salvageable.
Then you need assets.
You need assets.
I just remember that moment in the offseason when I said, Danny, it's coming. You know, they're going to be coming for your guy Fields. And we're going to all have to be patient and watch some starts here. And if it's bumpy at all, everybody's going to say, and all the Nationals are going to be writing about it. But it's not the Nationals. It's you. It's you.
Well, speaking of assets and trades, you have a new suitor possibly that is emerging. The Chargers have placed Joey Bosa on IR with a groin injury.
Wow.
So you have another LA
IR
team.
Which IR is it?
They said it's not non-season ending
one. So the four games one.
He can't, four minimum. Yeah, he can't. So he can come back. Staley says he does not think it's going to be season long. Yeah, fine. Reunite Quinn and Mac with the Chargers.
Oh, God.
That team, man. I mean, obviously, I bet on them to win the Super Bowl. And now, all pro corner, all pro pass rusher, all pro tackle.
Wide receivers.
Pro Bowl receiver, Pro Bowl center. All hurt. Other than Herbert and Mike Williams, they're five best players. And you know, Herbert's their best player, but Bosa's their second best player. Rashawn Slater's left tackle. J.C. Jackson, corner, just like premium position, man. Premium talent, five guys, all hurt, all significant injuries 3 weeks into the season.
Listen to the 1ST and pod research come flowing out of this guy.
Oh, dude.
Right here.
What team you want to talk about?
1ST ampersand pod.
Ampersand, please.
Tell me about Drake London down in Atlanta.
Oh, proof that another early round receiver can get it done. Dude, when are they going to play Desmond Ridder? How long is this Marcus Mariota experience gonna happen here?
This is his dream right here, talking national stuff.
Oh, my God. I want to do more national NFL.
So gross.
It's so enjoyable.
where was this when I was dying to do national baseball?
Here's the difference.
In the heat
of
the races.
People watch out-of-town football.
Oh, how dare you.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
How dare you.
Drake London looks good. Yeah. Justin Fields would feel a lot better if he had him. All the guys look good. Garrett Wilson looks good. We'll see him in a couple of weeks. For Bears Jets.
Did you know, Danny, that since the year 2000, there have been a lot of teams that have started out 0-3. I think the number is 209 for teams that have started out 0-3. You know how many teams have made the playoffs?
Six.
One.
Is that true?
2018 Titans, or Texans, excuse me. 2018 Texans.
I think it's six.
You do? Okay, great.
We're always a little skeptical of Spiegel trivia, aren't we?
Yeah. I think it's
offensive.
And I think one 0-4 team did it, the 92 Chargers, and six 0-3 teams did it off the top of my head. But
I'm going to the source.
You go to the source.
I'm going to the source right here.
Okay.
I've got it right here.
Okay.
Since 2000, 100, since 2000, okay. 109 teams have started out the season 0-3. Just one, the 2018 Texans, has made the playoffs.
All right.
So what I'm saying is the Raiders are now 0-3.
They are 0-3.
So they're toast.
Yeah, 17-game season.
According to the precedent.
But 92 Chargers, so that's pre-2000. All right, we're getting into the weeds here.
Yeah.
Boomer Esiason said Chicago's where quarterbacks go to die. We're not really going to push back all that hard on that. And he obviously covers the Giants day in and day out. So we talk to Boomer next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.